God's grace as we seek him, not only as the infant, but also as that Savior and Lord. Amen. In fire-prone parts of our country, or those where earthquakes are an occurrence people have to take account for, their folks are told to have disaster plans. Keep certain things in your car or ready to go, a ready bag, as they call it. Here in Houston, it's hurricanes. Hurricanes are our issue. So what are we told? Keep the gas tank full. Keep enough food in your house for a week. Know your evacuation route if they're told to evacuate. But what's the disaster plan for a pandemic? Remember back in January, February, March, when we really didn't know, right up until the time when they canceled the rodeo, what we were supposed to do? And then, of course, the disaster plan, as I think I understood it, was buy all the TP you can find. I don't know, is that because everybody thought the crap was going to hit the fan? I don't really know why that happened. I'm still trying to, I think social scientists will have to figure that one out for us. But you know, we need to do more than just plan for disasters. And as Christians, I think we also need to do more than just call on God when it's a disaster. Right, when we can't find the car keys, we finally cry out and pray. When we can't get through a situation, we turn back to him. Why is it that it's when the troubles come that we turn back to God? In the Psalm 46, we're reminded that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble, which is a great promise. It's that psalm is what inspired Martin Luther to write, "A mighty fortress is our God." But he's also ever present even before the trouble. Ever present for us when our hearts are just starting to feel worried, just starting to wonder, just starting to struggle. God will help at break of day, Psalm 46 goes on to say. And the nations will come and go. The nations will rise and fall. Things will be in an uproar. Things may be crazy. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love that at Christmas we celebrate the sweetness of God coming to us close and even quietly. In Psalm 46, when David writes and says, "Be still and know that I am God," it's almost as if he lived that out himself. He came in such a still, quiet way that we celebrate Silent Night. Holy night. There was no fanfare. There was no announcement to princes and kings. Maybe there was, as we're about to have tomorrow night, this alignment of the stars that warned the wise men to come and see that something very unique has happened. But it's as if the whole countryside missed it. Those in Jerusalem, when they finally hear, the wise men show up and they say, "Where is the one who's been born, King of the Jews?" They're all surprised. Somehow they missed it. Because God came so quietly. He didn't come to intimidate us. He didn't come to scare us into bowing down. "We're not worthy. You're the Lord." He came as the gentle, approachable baby. But as you and I know, he did not stay that way. He grew from the Savior in the manger, clinging to Mary's thumb, to the one who took the nails in his hands and feet and the crown of thorns on his head for our sins. He grew to that one who faced and overcame death and the devil and all of our sins, that we might know him as Master and Lord. I love how 1 Peter chapter 3 puts it in verse 15. Always set apart Jesus Christ as Lord. Not just our disaster plan, not just on high and holy days as we get ready to celebrate Christmas and Christmas Eve, but always set him apart. Set him apart when the panic's about to kick in. Set him apart as Lord when the temptation is there. Set him apart as Lord when we have so many questions and we wonder, does God really know? Does God really understand? If you and I were going to have guests over for Christmas, we might take time to check in what some of their favorite foods are. We might, if they're going to spend the night, make sure to do certain things, wash the sheets, you know, make the bed, get everything all nice and ready and set. Why is it that we seem so forgetful that Christ comes to our homes and to our hearts every day? Why is it that we wait until it's that moment of disaster, that moment of pain in our life, that we reach out to him? He comes not just as this baby to warm our hearts, but as the one who conquers over sin and death. And he comes to be our master. One day, every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth is going to bow. And one day, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master to the glory of God the Father. You and I have the choice this day, and Christmas Day, and every day, to make that choice to bow that knee, to bow our heads and our hearts in humble prayer and say, you're my master now. You're the one I trust in with all of my heart. You are the one I thank. Before I do a web search to figure out how to handle this problem or that, I will search in your scripture and search your heart and let your spirit guide me. We don't always know how to plan for pandemics and situations, but when Christ is our master, we'll always be ready to take our cues from him. We'll always be ready to have him, like those disciples in the boat so fearful of the storm, saying, wait, what are you so worried about? Where's your faith? And just speak to the storm that struggles and troubles us. Peace, be still. When that was done, the disciples said, who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? You are Lord and master over nature. Can he be the Lord and Savior over our redeemed human nature this day and every day? We're invited to come and see what the Lord has done. We're invited to be still and know that he is God and he will be exalted in the nations. It's also our invitation that he might be exalted in our decisions, in our needs, in our days. Little days, big days, all days, that he might be there for us. Friends, I want to encourage us. You know, we sing these wonderful things, and someone has once said, Christians generally don't tell lies, but sometimes they sing lies. And what that means is that we sing these wonderful words like, well, thus they sing your monarch, whose bright angelic bands. Is he our monarch? Do we really mean it? Or as we sang in the opening hymn of Morning Star, how fair and how bright, of Jacob's race, King David's son, our Lord and Master, you have won. Our hearts will serve you only. This Christmas, we hope for joy. We hope for peace. We hope for vaccine to come very soon to our population and an end to this pandemic. But whenever that ends, or whatever the next trouble is that comes after that, you and I can still have peace welling up in our hearts, no matter what circumstance we face, when he is our Lord and Master, not just our disaster plan. So exalt him, trust him, set your heart apart for him. We have favorite cookies and treats and favorite songs that we like to have this time of year. Can we this day say, Jesus, of all the things I enjoy, of all the memories I treasure, of all the traditions that are important to me, you are more important than them all. What you want, your will, not mine, be done, is more important to me. Where you invite me to go, who you invite me to serve, who you show me to encourage, I'll go, I'll serve, I'll encourage, I'll love. We can, as we prepare for this Christmas week, invite Jesus to come. come to our fears and to our worries and to our needs. We can invite the one who has conquered death to walk with us each single day and moment of life. And we can say we'll follow every little turn, every little stop, every little meander that he takes. We will follow when he is our Lord and our master. May God help that fill our Christmas not only with joy, but with the strength and the confidence that comes with him as the master that we're following. Amen.